Father. Oh, Father, we thank you for those words, our Lord and Savior, Mashiach Yahushua. Tonight we're going to do a teaching on the watchman on the wall and also judgment. And so this is for people who might be going to school in this room and people in our workstation also. It's very important to realize that we are ambassadors for Christ. We've got more information generally than I think mostly anybody in the world I can see, of more information. So we need to be the lights that bring that light in there, that we do not blend in. We do not blend in. So who has read Ezekiel lately? No?
No.
Have you ever read it? Probably not. So this is why it's very important.
Well,
you read the Bible
yet. Well, yeah, I know. But this is Ezekiel to give you an example of, it's called the watchman on the wall. So let's go to Ezekiel 33. Now, most people aren't going to read Ezekiel, so that is a trick question.
Ezekiel what?
33.
Where is Ezekiel?
Right after Jeremiah.
Ezekiel 33.
And this is such great counsel. 33, verse 1. Let's see if I'm there. Oh, I got it. Put it right there. Now, we're going to see that in this particular case, the only person who had Holy Spirit were usually the prophets, the kings, and that's basically it, a prophet or a king. And so they're exalted to a higher position, actually speaking for Yahweh. Now we know all believers have Holy Spirit. So we're in the same capacity of the ability of speaking and warning people. So we're going to look at this on verse 1. And the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of Man. And that's always Adam. Whenever you see it, Son of Man, it's Son of Adam. So Adam is either a person's name, and it's also mankind, the Son of Adam, Adam. Speak unto the sons of thy people, thou shalt say unto them, a land, when I bring upon it a sword, and the people of the land shall take one man out of their whole number, and appoint him for them as watchman. And he shall see the sword coming upon the land, and shall blow at the horn, and warn the people. So, you got a person, the watchman on the wall, your job is to look. 24-hour surveillance, and when the enemy's coming, and you blow the horn. Then, as for him who readily heard the sound of the horn, and took not warning, the sword indeed hath come and taken him away. His blood upon his own head shall remain. The sound of the horn he heard, but he took not warning. His blood upon him shall remain. It says it twice. Whereas had he taken warning, his own soul he should have delivered. But as for the watchman, when he sees the sword coming, and hath not blown the horn, so this is going to be us, we're the watchmen, and have not blown the horn, and the people have not been warned, and the sword had come and taken away from among them any person, he for his iniquity hath been away, but his
taken away,
but his blood at the hand of the watchman will I require. So the watchman is responsible by not blowing the horn. Therefore thou, son of Adam, a watchman have I appointed thee to the house of Israel. So then thou shalt hear at my mouth a message, and this is very important, a message, and shall warn them from me. So each one of our lives, especially the three are going to school, is when you're in school and you're meeting people, you're a watchman. And you know what's right and you know what's not right. And it's our job is not to conform, but be transformed. So keep your hand here, and we're going to come right back here. Go to Romans 12. Well, I want to blend in. I want to be liked. And all of us want to. But there is a point where you say, this book says differently. 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, through the compassions of the Raham of Yahweh, to present your bodies a living, holy sacrifice unto Yahweh acceptable, your rational, divine service, and be not configuring yourself unto this age, but be transforming yourself by the renewing of your mind, that the end ye may be proving what is the thing willed by Yahweh, the good and acceptable and perfect. Now go back to Ezekiel. You are not to blend in. If you blend in, you have lost your mission. The person should say, these people are different. They're not going to go along with this stuff. And so when you get into the classrooms, homosexuality, transgender, you know, you just call it what it is. It's sodomy, sodomites. It's not transgender. It's a sodomy. And this is an abomination that a whole city or district, Sodom and Gomorrah and a lot of other ones, were annihilated because of this sin. And it's going to be in your university, you're in high school, in your high schools and universities. It's just there. And you got to be able to make a stand. And when somebody starts saying that, no, it's not transgender, it's called sodomy. And they're called sodomites. Because one thing you'll find out is they'll never cut off their testicles. Why is that? They want to be a woman, right? Why don't they cut off their testicles?
Thought they were.
No. Because they can't have orgasms anymore. So once you cut it off, what you want is sex, 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 sex. And that's why you do not castrate yourself. Right? Because you can't have orgasms. So all these transgender things are all men dressed up as women. They're called transvestites or sodomites, because it's always going to be Sodom. They're always homosexuals. And you say, hey, you really want to be the thing? Cut them off. Cut it all off. No, they'll never do that because it's all based on sex. Now, we go back to here, and by you warning them, it is, I'm off the hook because I told them. If I didn't warn them, now I've got a problem because Yahweh's going to say, you're there for a purpose, and also there to a purpose to say, this is wicked. Well, you're not going to be invited to this party. You're not going to be invited to this party. You're not going to do it. Who are you? Judge. And we're going to that. But let's carry on in verse 8. And when I say to the lawless man, you know, when Yahweh's saying to Elijah by a message to speak to this guy, and when I say to the lawless man, O lawless man, thou shalt surely die, and thou hast not spoken to warn the lawless man from his way, he, the lawless man, for his iniquity shall die, but his blood at thy hand will I demand. And so your silence, you're accountable. We're all accountable of all our silence. But as for thyself, when thou hast warned a lawless man from his way to turn thereof, and he hath not turned from this way, he for his own iniquity shall die, but thou hast delivered thy own life. There it is. So we had a homosexual, it still is, it was a leader of the Sedgwick County Party, a Republican, supposedly. And once I found out he was a homosexual, I Googled him, and all of a sudden, first gay running the Sedgwick County Party. I'm like, holy mackerel. So I contacted him, gave him the scriptures, contacted everybody else in the Republican Party to blow the horn on this guy. This is not acceptable. Now he still maintains it. Okay. I'm not responsible for him because I warned him. So you got to make sure you realize this is very serious stuff, because when we meet Christ with all of us, they're going to say, what about this? Well, he was my good friend or my hairdresser. Women, you know, a lot of times they'd be homosexuals, hairdressers. Well, I really liked him. He did my hair very well. Okay, flunk, did you conform to this age? Yeah, you did. You conform to this age. And now you can be responsible because you could have saved that guy's life by telling him. Now, 10, thou therefore, son of man, say unto the... wait a minute, I already did that, right? Let's go to 11. Say unto them, as I live, declareth my Lord Yahweh, surely I can take no pleasure in the death of the lawless man, but that the lawless man may turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your wicked ways, for wherefore should you die, O house of Israel? Thou therefore, son of man, say unto the sons of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous man shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. And as for the lawlessness of the lawless man, he shall not stumble thereby in the day of his return from his lawlessness. This is very important. Nor shall the righteous man be able to live thereby in the day of his sin. When I say of the righteous man, he shall surely live, but he hath trusted in his righteousness and committed perversity, none of his righteous deeds shall be mentioned. But by his perversity, which he hath committed, therefore shall he die. And when I say to the lawless man, thou shalt surely die, but he shall... This is very important, because people are saying, forgive, forgive, forgive. No, no. Here's what they're supposed to do. When you confront a person who stole money, you say, I forgive you. No. Yeah. Return the money. No, he says, just forgive me. No, return the money. We're going to see this. Thou shalt surely die, but he shall turn from his sin and do what? Justice and righteousness. The debt plague the lawless man shall restore. Plunder shall what? Pay back. In the statutes of life hath walked so as not to commit perversity. He shall surely live, he shall not die. None of his sins which he has committed shall be called to mind against him. Justice and righteousness hath he done, he shall surely live. That's the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul consented to the death of Stephen and hauled men and women into prison. And you know, think of living with that. Somebody's dead, well, you can't pay that back. And 17, and can the sons of thy people say, the way of the Lord will not be equal? Nay, but as for them, their way will be equal. When the righteous man shall turn from his righteousness and commit perversity, then shall he die for them. But when the lawless man shall turn from his lawlessness and do justice and righteousness, upon them shall he live. And can you then say, the way of the Lord shall not be equal? Every man according to his own ways, so will I judge, O house of Israel. You can also go to Ezekiel 18 to come into that. Let's see here. So it's the message and warning people, and we cannot be cowards. You know, you can't warn everybody. So sometimes you're going to be in a situation where you just don't have the time or the element. But we go to Matthew.
I think it said Ezekiel 18.
Pardon me?
Ezekiel 18.
No. We're not going to go there. Okay. But if you want to read the same thing that's handled, it's handled again in Ezekiel 18. And it really shows you just, you know, so people have got to get ready for the lies of Christianity, that if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive your sins and from all righteousness and clean. Okay, I stole $100,000 and I can keep it. Because I confess my sin. No, you're going to pay back the $100,000. What happens if I spend it? Well, you're going to work off $100,000 to pay back that person. Mm. All right, well, I'm not going to. Then obviously you're not repentant of your sin. If you're not willing to restore the person or to undo the evil that you did, then you're not repentant. You should be glad to do that. So in our opinion, we've talked about this before. David, had Uriah murdered. Okay? Could he undo that?
No.
But he can undo it on the new earth. So I'm thinking many times on the new earth, there's a 1,000-year reign. Does he owe Uriah something? Yeah. Yes, he does. Does he owe Uriah's parents something?
Yeah.
Yes. How about his brothers and sisters? Yes. So anybody who's affected with Uriah could not take care of his parents because he's dead. Uriah is dead, and so you're so in debt that David should say, here I am, Uriah, I'm yours for the next 70 years, and serve Uriah. And then that's restitution. It's restoring somebody or serve his parents, serve his brothers and sisters, and the person should be, I'm glad to do that. So with all this to say, I'm glad to restore that. And you got 1,000 years. Go ahead and take care of this. So I believe that's going to happen in the 1,000 years in that particular case. And if a person stole money and spent it all, well, they're going to owe it on the new earth, and they're going to serve that person because it's what's right. It's what's right, and very simply. Now we go to Matthew 18:15. This is very important to you guys. You know, I'm really low key. I just don't go into these areas. I just don't. You know, guess what? It really makes people uncomfortable. You know, I'm not comfortable with that. And guess what? You're going to have a conversation with Christ, who died for us, that we can be his mouthpiece. Would Christ reprove people?
Yep.
Did he call Pharisees hypocrites? Mm-hmm. The lawyers hypocrites?
Peter, Satan.
Yeah, Peter, Satan. And there's, so, you know, you've got to realize this is, if the shoe fits, wear it. You know, and I could save that person's life by confronting him. And so, as you know, my life's been really, it's very easy for me. And people say, yeah, it's very easy for him. He does it all the time. Does it make me friends? No, it doesn't make friends at all. It doesn't at all. But guess what? I am in a clean conscience. Is there anybody I have not confronted when I saw their sin? And to the best of my knowledge, no. I mean, that I could confront. You know, complete strangers. You know, you see them once and they're gone. And that way, I can say, Christ, I'm not going to have that talk of why didn't you say something? Now at 18, and this is where we're all instructed, because you say, well, that's the old covenant. What about the new covenant? Well, the new covenant at 15, which we know this. And if thy brother's sin, withdraw, convince him betwixt thee and him alone. So you have a friend in school, and so Elijah's going to be going to college, and so is Melania. And here's a person having a sexual relationship out of marriage. And your friend. And what do you have to say? I'm going to talk to him and say, you can't do that. For your own sake and everybody else, well, I'm going to do it no matter what. You know what you're going to say? I'm going to say right here, I talked to him. And he's a believer, you know, somebody who's a Christian. If they're not a Christian, you got to make sure they're not your friends. Real simple. For thou hast gained thy brother. But if he do not hearken, okay, no, I'm not. I'm going to keep shacking up this person, committing a fornication. Take with thee yet one or two, that all the mouth of two witnesses or three, every declaration may be established. There's the next thing. I take two or three witnesses. And am I condemning somebody? No, I'm trying to deliver somebody. I'm trying to bring them back to the light. Because the road you're on is destruction. And Wendy just did it to her brother. That's very important. I've done it to my brothers and sisters. And I hope people will do it to me. Yeah, so I ask for it. If you ever see a problem, do it. And one other way to it, if you're afraid to do face-to-face, and sometimes it's very, it gets into a heated argument, write a letter. And that somebody else can read it. It's done in love. You know, is directing the point. We don't have the face-to-face conflict. A person can think about it before you have the face-to-face conflict. And you back it up with scriptures. You got to back it up. It's not me. You back it up with scriptures. 17, but if you hear them amiss, tell it to, it took three people to talk to them. So here's Cooper or somebody else, and you're like, man, I love you, guy, but you know, you can't do that. Or stealing. It could be something else. You can't do that. Or I'm going to start dealing pot. You know, so I was in college, and the guy upstairs was selling pot. Bought it like a kilo of pot. I'm like, what the heck is this? I'm trying to become a Christian at KU. Now this guy is breaking the law. You know? So you've got to be able to have that, because it can affect that person's life and everybody else around him. And even if the assembly he heareth amiss, so you bring the whole people up there, you're going to tell the church, this person is not repenting. And even if the assembly he heareth amiss, let him be unto thee just as the man of the nations and the tax collectors. If you don't listen to me, I'm going to have to cut you off. Is that what you want? If they say, yeah, so be it. You're not a friend anyway. Yeah, because we're going to see in the Word, you got to separate yourself. 1 Corinthians 5, and this is to the church, the epistles. So people say, well, it's the old covenant. You know, we can forgive and live and let live. Now, the whole thing with 5, 6, and 7, it's all concerning fornication. What is the biggest sin we've got now, basically, that's acceptable in the United States? Fornication. God, I look at the TV sitcoms and everything else. It's just flooding with fornication and adultery and sodomy. You know, it's in the movies. It's all around you. It's in your school. It's going to be taught in your schools. And you're supposed to swallow that. And you're like, not here. Not happening here because I'm going to be a light. I'm not conforming to this age. I'm going to be transforming by the renewal of your mind. And I'm going to tell anybody who wants out of this, I'm going to tell the truth about it. It's death. You get into this kind of situations and you're going to die one way or another. So, 5:1, on all hands is reported among you fornication. We just go right to the verse 13. Whereas them who are without, God judges, remove ye the wicked man from among yourselves. You have to say, oh, he's my best friend. He's my best friend. And what's Yahweh say? Remove him. And you say, no, I'm not going to do that. Are you a servant anymore of Yahweh? I mean, of Christ? No. Is he your Lord? No, he's not your Lord. And if you're not careful, you're going to go down that same path. Now, 6 is going to be the same situation. If you go into 15, know ye not that you're, you know, fornication has always been a problem. Sex, we went to, the Greece, Athens. It's on their coins, everything. You know, the sex, men are naked, you know, doing wrestling, everything else naked. It's just prostitution. You have slaves, prostitution is part of it. All of it started. So this is nothing new. It's been going on since the fall of man, since Adam and Eve. And it's usually men more than women. Women try to please men so they go along with it, but men are just obsessed and cannot control their libido. But most people have this, and a lot of people have the same drive. They have to fight it. And the other thing we can see in 1 Corinthians 5, 6, and 7, if you can't contain it, what's it 7 say?
Get married.
Marry. And have at it. Yeah, it really is. Your body is hers, his is yours. Okay. And it's all blessed. Blessed. And I'm going to tell you, on the contrary, don't withhold anything. And so when you get married, the wife's body is mine, and my body is my wife. So if my wife needs, wants that sexual gratification, that's what I'm there for. Vice versa. I'm right there for it. That's part of the deal. And so we look at 15. Or no, let me see here. No, I think that was, 15. Know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take away the members of the Christ and make them members of a harlot? Hey, Jimmy Swigart was single. He's a big pastor on radio and TV. TV evangelist would have his chauffeur drive him down to strip places. And the strip places would dance for him. He didn't touch, but he just watched them. So do you think this isn't a problem? You know, Jim Baker, who was head of the PTL club, was a mammoth Christian organization. His married man, his secretary seduced him. And it just destroyed. And then the secretary seduced him. And guess what? She wanted money after that. $200,000. Mm-hmm. Or I'll tell the world. You know, you see the trap that you get in, let alone disease. They're not going to tell you about that. You know, what kind of diseases that spread through sexual contact when you're not in a monogamous relationship. No sexual disease with that. Okay, 16. Or know ye not that he that has joined himself unto a harlot is one body? For saith he, the two shall become one flesh. But he that, and I'll tell you another thing too, warning. The biggest thing that'll make you fall is alcohol. You're going to do things when you're intoxicated that you would never do. And it could be under other drugs too. But you're going to do things that you're going to regret the rest of your life. You know, under the influence of alcohol. So be very careful of alcohol at a party. Everybody's drinking. And all of a sudden, your mind starts going, and it's a bad. And anybody who's ever drank knows that. Anybody who's ever overdrank knows you got a real problem. You fight people. You're not a fighter. You can have sex with somebody who you don't even know, you know, and then you end up with a disease at the night after you had a 10 or 20 minute encounter. Now you got a sexually transmitted disease for the rest of your life. Give you antibiotics. How about that? And that's what people need to be told, your friends, with Elijah or Isaiah or Melania. This is the ramifications. That the world's saying, do it, do it, do it, do it. Everybody's telling you, do it. And if you don't do it, you're square. Not square, but you're something like whatever. 17, but he that joined himself unto the Lord is one spirit. What's it say? Flee what?
Fornication.
Flee fornication. Every sin whatsoever a man shall commit is outside the body, but he that committeth fornication bringeth sin into his own body. Wow, or know you not that your body is a shrine of the Holy Spirit that is within you, which you have from Yahweh, and ye are not your own? For ye have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Let me see here. Judgment. We're going to see in 1 Corinthians 5. No, 2 Corinthians 5, sorry. You know, that people, we had a whole Christian ministry, it's called the Way Ministry, which is a great organization. The president started having, committing adultery with the people part of the ministry. And destroyed the ministry, destroyed his life, that's Craig Martindale. Destroyed his life. And the people who are part of it. That's in a Christian ministry. You don't think this stuff is big, taboo? You know, pastors, everybody else have been tempted with this. And Billy Graham would get to the point, he says, I will never interview a woman without another woman present. And the doors are always going to be open too. There is no such thing like that. Because you have a woman who's coming because they have marital problems. And all of a sudden, you start talking to them. And they start getting attracted to you because you're hearing them that their husband's not doing. And before you know it, they can seduce you, and all of a sudden you're right in this diabolical mess, and you're a pastor or a Christian. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5:10, and people will say, no, my sins are forgiven, I can commit, and this is what the Way Ministry did, I can fornicate, and it's all right, because back in the Old Testament, people had multiple wives, Solomon had concubines, which means you have sex as much as you want, to justify what they're doing. 10, for we are all must needs be made manifest before the judgment seat of the Christ, that each one may get back the things done by means of the body according to the things which he practiced, whether good or what?
Corrupt.
So I've got to think right now, Christ and Yahweh know everything. So if I've got something I really did, I got to amend that. I got that. So mom did that once. You know, so she, you know, hurt a person when she wasn't a believer. Okay? And can I say that?
You can tell them.
Well, if she took some money when she was single from, for an unethical person. And so we're like, well, we just got to rectify that. So, you know, we're going to give double. You can't find the person you took it from because we don't know where they live here in Canada. So we're going to give double to somebody else. And we're going to knock that off the charts. Because now, am I sorry? Yes. You know, I took $100, well, I'm going to give $200 to a believer. And that's how you can rectify things, to become clean. And now when Christ says, I saw you did that, well, I got away with it. They don't know me. I don't know them. You know, I shouldn't have done that. Yes. Okay. And?
You still want to talk
well,
about
that? Yeah. I already spent the money. And, oh, I should pay back the money. Yes, and if you stole a sheep, you owe the person how many?
Seven.
Yeah, four or seven. Yeah, seven. You owe a lot more. Okay, so I didn't just get back what I took.
Restitution.
I double that or triple it or whatever you want to do. And all of a sudden you can say, I've done the same thing. You know, so it's not mom, but I've done something that I shouldn't have done that. And come clean. Because now I do it, and when I meet Christ, I don't have to come clean. He's going to say, good job. It took you 5 years, but you came clean. Okay, yeah. Hey, you got that wrong. Are we going to say that to Christ?
No.
All right, playback. There we go. This is all being recorded. But that is that. And if you go to Revelation 20:13, because we got supposedly the corruption in Christianity that works, what you do just doesn't matter. Because you can just ask the golden thing. I'm forgiven. It's not by works of righteousness, but by His grace alone. I can do whatever I want. Just ask. I'm forgiven.
When I got it.
Yeah. Well, that's what we're told.
20 what?
20 verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Sheol gave up the dead that were in them, and they were judged each one according to their what?
Works.
Rewards. I'm here, baby, for the big stuff. I did this, and I did this, and I did this, and okay! The prize is going up. The prize is going up. The guy who had 10 or 5 minutes, and he made 10, he said, good steward, you're going to get 10 cities. So judgment should be an exciting time. I can't wait for the judgment day because of all the stuff I did that I'm going to get paid for that I didn't receive on the earth. If you're afraid of judgment, why is that? You know, you should be, I am excited about judgment because I am a good soul.
Where you say it's the Bema, it's like at the Olympics.
Yeah, but it's not, they're wrong on that, actually. That was it is wrong. And that's what they said. That's 2 Corinthians 5:10. The judgment seat is Bema, where they said it's only, and it's wrong. Because Pilate's seat is called the Bema. You know, so where do you even get this thing? You know, so, you know, it's good, and even the scripture says good or corrupt. Well, wait a minute, I don't want the corrupt part. I want the good part. Somebody's keeping a record here?
Yeah.
And that's judgment, and that's the point is, that's why everybody's going to be resurrected. The people who reject Christ and the people who accept Christ. The people who reject Christ are going to pay back. You know, Hillary Clinton, Obama, Biden, they're going to get it. They're going to pay back. And it might be 1,000 years. Hitler, Stalin, guess what? None of them got away with it. They're all being resurrected. Death would be easy. If you weren't resurrected, that would be your dream come true because I got away with it. But all the people that you did this, you're going to pay. All of us are going to pay. It's going to be restitution. They're going to be restitution.
Because our God is just.
So we saw that. And we can go back to finish up in 2 Kings 10 on Jehu, which is, they've got Jehu, which is not Jehu, it's Jehu. 2 Kings 10. And Yahweh can still be with you. And He is. He works with imperfect people. And here's another thing. When people teach the Trinity, I'm with Christians now, and they're teaching the Trinity. And you know what you say? Where is that in the Bible, the word Trinity? And very nicely, where is the word Trinity in the Bible? Well, it's not. I have a problem with that. How about God the Son? Is that in the Bible? No, it's not in the Bible either. How about incarnation? No. How about God-man? No. You know, it's funny because in Galatians 1:6-9, it says, if you add anything to this word, you're accursed. Why are we discussing this? The Trinity's not in this book. It's not in my vocabulary. It's not in my life. It shouldn't be in yours either. And you tell a person very nicely, and you have to go to Galatians. Let's hang in Galatians. I mean, 2 Kings. We're going to go to Galatians. And this is for them to train them. Instead of trying to say, well, here's the Trinity right here in John 1:1 and all this. You know, the word doesn't even exist. I'm not going to talk about something that doesn't exist in this book. If it wasn't in Paul's vocabulary, if it wasn't in Moses' vocabulary, it's not in my vocabulary. And actually, we've been warned against that very thing you're doing. And what is the warning?
Page 392.
No, 190.
Yeah, 191.
I thought you said 2 Kings.
No, hang on to that. No, we're going to be there. We're in Galatians. Yeah, it actually is 190. I marvel that as quickly you are moving away from Him that called you in the favor of Christ unto a different glad message, which is not another. Only there are some that are troubling you and wishing to change the glad message of the Christ. But even if we are a messenger out of heaven, that includes all the different popes and pastors and everybody else, announce a glad message aside from that which we announced unto you. What a curse let him be. Trinity, not in here. These other things. The Catholics have what they call the 14 stations of the cross. Not in here. How about Mary, the Mother of God? Not in here. You know, so not in here. It's not even an option. How about in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? Not in here. You know, just sorry. It's always greetings in the name of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sticking with that. I'm sticking with 1 Timothy 2:5. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, a man, Christ Jesus. It's right there. But here, 9, as we have, they're going to say it twice. As we have said before, even now again, I say, if anyone is announcing unto you a glad message aside from that which you accepted, what? A curse let him be. Wow. You can have what you want. And so I told a pastor, I want to talk about, no, it's yours. It's all yours. I want to talk about prophecy. You know, so I've had these encounters, but you can do it speaking the truth in love, not with a bat. And at the right time, you can say, hey, are you aware of this? And now we go to 2 Kings 10. And this is Jehu. In verse 29.
Yehu?
Yeah, it's really Yehu. It's just, every time you see a J, put a Y there. It's not Israel, and same with I. It's not Israel, it's Yisrael. Y. You know, so just because, so it should not Jehu with a J, it should be Y-E-H-U. But Yahweh chose him, and he chose him and said, you're going to kill all the house of Ahab. Got it? And you're going to kill all the Baal worship out of Israel. Got it. And so and he anointed him, your king, over Israel. He's the one who did something to his Ahab's wife. Anybody know who Ahab's wife is?
Jezebel.
Okay, let's see if I can get them. Ahab's wife is called?
Jezebel.
What?
Jezebel.
Okay, and what did he do to his wife? Go ahead, Melania.
She shoved her out the window, and she got
Eaten by dogs.
He didn't shove her out.
No, he did. I know that she's saying the eunuchs did. But people got to realize this guy was anointed by Yahweh. All right, payback time for the prophets you killed, for Nabal that you killed, all the other stuff.
Kick some.
And she put her eye makeup on, so it's really good. She put the eye makeup on. My master, and he, instead of talking to her, he said, who's for me? Let me address her. You. throw her out the window. And you can imagine the screaming and everything. Oh my God, I'm a queen. And then he rode his horse on her too and went and had lunch. This is the same guy. Thus Jehu destroyed Baal.
Hold on, what verse are you in?
28. Thus Jehu destroyed Baal out of Israel. Nevertheless, as for the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which he caused Israel to commit, Jehu turned not away from following them. The calves of gold, one being in Bethel and the other in Dan. So Yahweh hired him. He did it. He still kept these two golden calves. And Yahweh rewarded him with four generations being king. Even knowing that that's going to happen. The Trinity right now is the two calves. That's what you can say. These are the sins of Jehu. Yehu. Now we have Yahweh, yeah. And what did Jeroboam do? He made two other gods. One and put one calf, one in Dan and one in Bethel. Same thing today. You got two other gods, God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. So we'll end there. And you don't want to ask it by your name, too. You say, Melania served me with all her heart, except in talking to people. She kept her lips shut. All right? God, there's so you could have so much. And you're going to have a lot, but you could have so much more if you would have just done what I told you to do. Well, that was uncomfortable, you know? And with all of us. All right, well, Heavenly Father, we're going to have a word of prophecy to close things out. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words. Rejoice again in all of the afflictions that can come upon your enemy, because in your enemy, they can destroy people's lives and have destroyed people's lives. So keep your eye on the hope that's before you, because I reign in the earth. I bring deliverance to people, to your kind at all times, because you're my sons and daughters in whom I've equipped with great spiritual power and authority as my ambassadors and as my son, Yahushua Mashiach. Guide your footsteps, because you are his body, to go ahead and do my will to bring light into this dark and perverse generation. Amen. See you next week.